Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, Director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we continue our messianic study of the seven feasts of the Lord given in Leviticus 23. And thus far we have seen, through our detailed study, how the Messiah's ministry, his death, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, has all been foreshadowed and prefigured in these prophetic feasts of Leviticus 23. Last time we began our introductory study of the third feast on Israel's festival calendar, the Feast of First Fruits. And we've seen that First Fruits typifies the resurrection of the Messiah. That is, that Jesus is the first one to rise from the dead, the first of many more to come. In Leviticus 23, God told the children of Israel to take the first sheaf of their barley harvest and offer it up to the Lord. In Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 14. Then in Exodus 23:19 and verses 34:26, or I should say chapter 34:26, we have additional mention of the idea of first fruits. Exodus 23:19, the Lord says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young kid in its mother's milk." Then in Exodus 34:26, we have the mention of first fruits again. There it reads, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God." So we have basically a repetition here. And so the first fruits would be the sheaf that was harvested in the field where the crops grew, the barley crops. Now again, it must be pointed out here that God makes a distinction between the sheaf of the first fruits from the harvest of the first fruits, or that which took place under Shavuot, the harvest of grain that the Feast of Pentecost commemorated. The sheaf of the first harvest of Israel's harvesting season was first fruits, the barley harvest. And so this barley sheaf was a forerunner sheaf, a sample sheaf of all the harvests to come after that, which would be two more. There would be the wheat grain harvest that fell on the feast of Shavuot or Pentecost. And then there was the fruit harvest that occurred in the fall. And so the first harvest was the barley harvest, and from this a first fruits was made to represent all the other kind of harvest. So the harvest of Pesach, which was barley, then Pentecost, which was wheat, were a kind of first fruit harvest because the final harvest was to come in the end of the year under Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, which would be the fruit harvest. So then, the sheaf from the barley harvest was the first of the first fruits, and the harvests following. It represented the first harvested crop from all the other harvests in Israel that were to follow. And this is important because, again, the metaphor for the resurrection follows the idea of a harvest. Christ is called the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead, as Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 15. So, if he is the first to be raised from the dead, indicating many will follow after him, then we see that it is God's will that Jesus Christ, his Son, is preeminent and first in all things in the church, in Israel, and in the universe. Christ is the first fruits not only of those who will rise from the dead, he himself raising from the dead 3 days after his death, burial, but he is to be first in all things. We are to make him our first love. We are to do our first works for him, and we are to believe him above all else to be the first in our lives. This is a repeated truth, especially found in the book of Revelation, specifically Revelation chapters 2, 4, Revelation 5. And Christ is to be not only the first fruits of those who will rise from the dead, but he is to be first and preeminent in our lives. So going back to Leviticus 23, the sheaf of the first fruits was to represent all the harvests to come in the agricultural life of ancient Israel. That's important to remember. God says in Leviticus 23:10, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvests, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." So the sheaf was a representative sheaf, a symbolic sheaf, which presaged and heralded the coming harvest. Now, this sheaf was not the whole harvest, but it was a part of the whole. It represented a guarantee that the rest of the harvest would follow. And then when we apply the sheaf of the first fruits to the resurrection of Messiah Jesus, it's obvious what this means. Jesus in his resurrection represents the great harvest of resurrected bodies yet to come. One fascinating incident mentioned only in the Gospel of Matthew is that when the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ occurred, there was a small group of those who were dead that God raised immediately after Jesus rose from the dead. We read in Matthew 27, 52 and 53, "The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection." Notice that Christ was the first to rise from the dead, and this small company of Jewish saints were raised physically after him. This is in keeping with the theme of the Feast of First Fruits. Christ, the first harvested man from the dead, and then this small company with him make up that first bundle, that sheaf of the resurrected ones to come. So we see here then that in keeping with the imagery of first fruits and the harvest, that the sheaf of first fruits is First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ in His own physical and personal resurrection. Then the other sheaves that make up this first fruit bundle would be the company of saints mentioned here in Matthew 27. They were raised bodily with Jesus after His resurrection. So together with Him, they can be considered to be the first fruit sheaf of the resurrection from the dead. And so the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the guarantee, the earnest, the down payment, the first fruits of which God promises those who follow Jesus and who have died will also be raised after Him. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the preeminent forerunner of the great harvest of the resurrection. Those who will be raised when Christ returns at the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 15:20 and 23 and verses 51 and 57. And of course, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. So with the resurrection of Christ, the first one who rose from the dead, conquered death, this is a guarantee that more will be raised. More is to come. Praise the Lord. In fact, the resurrections described in Scripture follow the pattern of the harvest in keeping with the feasts of first fruits. Let me explain. First of all, we have demonstrated that the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who have died, along with the small group of Jewish saints that were raised immediately after Jesus in Jerusalem. This would comprise the first fruits of the first resurrection harvest. Now, I say first resurrection because there will be two resurrections to come. The first resurrection will involve all of God's righteous people from the church age, the Old Testament, the saints of the Old Testament, and the tribulation saints. All of these elect companies comprise the first resurrection. So the first phase of the resurrection harvest began with Christ rising from the dead and the small group of Jewish saints who were raised after Him. Then, of course, we have the inter-Advent age, the present church age, which has now lasted for almost 2,000 years. Then, the rapture of the church will occur. The dead in Christ will be raised, and the Christians living at that time on the earth will be translated without experiencing death. They will be translated to be with the resurrected saints to meet the Lord in the air. That will begin the general harvest or ingathering resurrection of the righteous. Then we have the great tribulation period following the rapture of the church. Then at the end of the tribulation period, we have the resurrection of the tribulation saints, Revelation 20, 4 and 5. And that will conclude the first resurrection harvest. Now, let me just mention that the Old Testament saints will either be raised with the rapture of the church, or they will be raised along with the tribulation saints at the end of the 7-year tribulation. I would tend to favor this because in Daniel 12, it seems to indicate that after the great tribulation period, Daniel, who is considered an Old Testament saint, would be raised with all the other righteous in the Old Testament era. Daniel 12, verses 1 through 6, I believe. And so, Christ the first fruits was raised, then the harvest, or the ingathering will occur with the rapture of the church. And then, after the harvest, there is what is called the gleanings. After the farmer and his harvesters have gone through the field harvesting the crop, they go back over it one more time to make sure that they did not miss any crop that remained unpicked. That is called the gleanings. And the gleanings will be at the end of the tribulation period when the tribulation saints are raised. And following that, the thousand-year kingdom of Christ will begin. So it's really beautiful how Israel's agronomy, their agricultural cycle of harvest, coincides prophetically and beautifully with the resurrection of Christ and the future resurrection of the believer. Then in Leviticus 23:11, once the first fruit sheaf was bundled and brought before the Lord, the priest would take it and wave it in the presence of the God of Israel. So not only does the feast of first fruits speak of the resurrection of Messiah Jesus, but taking it into the presence of the Lord by the priest, into the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, this also pictures Messiah's ascension to the Heavenly Father's house, where he appeared before him to present himself as man's final atonement and sacrifice for sin. So when the high priest waved the sheaf of the first fruits, this pictured the ascension of the Messiah, who was the first fruits of the dead to be raised. Once raised, he ascended to the Father and appeared before his presence, and now makes intercession for you and I. Now, while the Jews kept the letter of the law concerning the feast day, they did so before a rent veil, an obsolete sacrificial system, while Christ, who is the embodiment and fulfillment of the Feast of First Fruits, ascended to the Father's house and presented himself in the presence of the Lord as the sheaf of the first fruits in his resurrection, ascension in a glorified body. And the Lord has accepted his sacrifice by raising him from the dead and receiving him as the first resurrected man of many resurrected saints to come. And since the church is his body and he is the head, if he rose from the dead, there is no doubt that we too will rise after him when he comes back for us at the rapture of the church. You have God's guarantee on that. He has vouchsafed our resurrection by raising his own son from the dead. So rest calm, be assured that though you may die believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, your body will not remain dead, but it will be raised from death to meet him in the air, because God has given you that guarantee when he raised Messiah Jesus from the dead. Praise God. Death will not hold the believer down. In fact, I think there should be a sign on every grave of the born-again Christian, or words etched into their headstone, which should say, temporary occupant. temporary occupant. And then after the resurrection, they should change the sign on that headstone to read, vacant. Amen. Now, when the first fruit sheaf was waved before the Lord by the high priest in the Bet Hamikdash, the temple, there were other things that had to be offered with it. First of all, a lamb without blemish of the first year was to be offered as a burnt offering. So here we see that first fruits is made possible and acceptable in the presence and eyes of the Lord because a sacrifice was made, the sacrifice of the lamb. With that also was required the meal offering and its accompanying drink offering. Both were to be offered as a sweet savor to God of Israel. And so, a meal offering of bread was given. A drink offering, probably of wine, was also made at the same time. This reminds us, again, of the broken body of Yeshua the Messiah and His shed blood for us, that we could be forgiven and cleansed from sin. So when we look at these three elements that were to be offered along with the presentation of the barley sheaf, these three things being the lamb sacrificed, the meal offering and drink offering given, and the sheaf of the first fruits offered simultaneously, this all points to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who gave His life in its entirety without hesitation for our sins. And the result then allows us to commune with Him in the bread and wine. The bread symbolizing His body, the wine symbolizing His shed blood for us. All of these elements associated with the Feast of First Fruits powerfully and conspicuously speaks of Messiah Jesus Himself in His sinlessness, His atoning death, His resurrection, and His ascension to heaven to stand in the presence of God on our behalf, to intercede for the believer. In Leviticus 23:14, God goes on to tell Moses and the nation of Israel that the Feast of First Fruits was to be, quote, a statute forever. A statute forever. So the Israelites were not to eat bread, corn, or parched ears until the day that the sheaf, the barley sheaf, was presented to the Lord. They could not partake of any of the harvest, beginning, of course, with the barley harvest, until the sheaf of the first fruits was waved and presented before the Lord. This is another important spiritual truth here for us, beloved. And that is that this was going to be a statute in Israel forever. Why? How could this be forever? Because Jews today do not celebrate the Feast of First Fruits because there's no temple standing in Jerusalem. So how could this considered to be forever, since it was pretty much the observance of First Fruits was pretty much terminated after the destruction of the temple in AD 70? How then can it be a statute forever? It is preserved forever because this feast was fulfilled by the Messiah when He ratified the new covenant with His death, resurrection, and ascension, and thereby memorialized and fulfilled the Feast of First Fruits forever. He preserved its essential teaching forever, and what this feast points to in the person and work of Messiah. So, Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension, presentation, and acceptance in the presence of God in heaven, these things memorialize and fulfill the Feast of First Fruits. And because His ministry was accomplished in time and history, and its ramifications and blessings last forever, that alone has made the Feast of First Fruits to be a statute forever in the church and in Israel, particularly when the nation of Israel accepts Yeshua, when He returns to save them in the Promised Land. And so the Feast of First Fruits typifies many significant things about the Messiah. And the Jewish apostles of the early church took note of this, particularly the Apostle Paul, for in the Epistle to the Corinthians he speaks of the coming resurrection of all Christian saints at the second advent of Christ, or the rapture of the church, I should say. The second advent of Christ is distinct and different from the rapture of the church. The second advent of Christ will happen when He returns to earth, to the land of Israel. The rapture will be when Messiah returns to the air to receive the church, both the risen saints and the translated saints. But Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15 that there will be a divine order in the resurrection. And by reading that chapter, Paul sets forth this order as follows. First, Christ the first fruits, risen from the dead, the one chief. And then those that are Christ at His coming, the harvest of sheaves. And so, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, died and was buried, and then rose again, this is a guarantee that you and I, if we should die, will be raised as well. And those saints who have died over the last 2,000 years, and those who are dying today, all of them, will be raised from the dead when Christ comes again for His church. The resurrection of the Christian is spoken of as the first resurrection. It will begin with the rapture of the church. And it will conclude at the end of the tribulation with the resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. And this will complete and comprise the first resurrection. The first resurrection with Christ, the risen first fruits, will begin at the rapture of the church and will be completed at the second coming of Messiah to this earth. It constitutes the great harvest of the redeemed and resurrected believers of all ages. All the saints, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament period, having died in the faith of the resurrection, will stand in their appointed place and lot in the end of days to await the resurrection. Daniel tells us this in Daniel 12:13. So Jesus Christ again is portrayed in a preeminent way as the first fruits of those who have rose from the dead. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.